Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Great show lineup for you today. And I'm going to shift gears on you to talk about a subject that we're going to drag under the tent of financial planning and advice and doing smart things with your money. And we have a special guest on the line, Tim David, who is a speaker and author. And he comes to us with a very interesting and unique background. And he's written a book, Magic Words, The Science and Secrets Behind Seven Words That Motivate, Engage, and Influence. We've invited Tim to come on and talk with us because there's a lot of things that tie into finances, and you'll see as we go through this, so bear with me. Humor me a little here, ladies and gentlemen. You'll understand what I'm getting at as we go through this. Tim was a professional magician for 8 years, giving more than 300 live performances per year. He continues to practice and teach magic, and in 2010 was named the top mentalist in North America. I mean, where do you go from there? His popular YouTube channel has received over 4 million views. He has students from over 70 countries around the world. Now, Tim is focused on helping sales professionals, managers, leaders, and negotiators, law enforcement, even become more effective and persuasive communicators. So we are very pleased to have Tim come talk to us. His clients include 3M, Bayer, Verizon, Citizens Bank, Travelers, Burger King, and many others. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, listen, it's my pleasure. Thanks for taking the time. And before we start, how in the world do you do 300 live performances in a year?
Lots of marketing, basically lots of word of mouth, getting on stage, doing a great job, and having the word spread.
Well, that's all the easy part. The stamina is what I'm getting at. Good grief.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know your trade, and you must. I know you love what you do. Okay, so let's connect the dots for my listeners, because they're going, wait a minute, David, I don't understand. This is a financial show. What are you doing to us? But the ability to communicate effectively has, in fact, I read a statistic, and I don't know if it was really scientific or statistically valid, if you will, but it's basically said that the people's success or their effectiveness had a lot more to do with communication than it did with their educational background or their professional credentials.
Your statistics are accurate. Harvard Business Review has surveyed companies, Forbes, Wall Street Journal have surveyed companies, and they ask the question, what's the most important skill, when you're making hiring decisions or when you're making the decision to promote people? And the number one answer comes back over and over and over again is communication skill. People want to hire for fit and train for skill, but that ability to connect and communicate and deal with difficult coworkers, deal with difficult bosses, the ability to motivate or influence prospects to buy if you're in sales, or employees to take action if you're in management. I mean, this is a skill that is absolutely, directly relates to people's bottom line.
There you have it. There's the tie-in, and that's exactly, it's very interesting. I'm holding the book myself here, and I'm looking forward to reading it, Tim. The Science and Secrets Behind the Seven Words. This is good. Magic Words. This is something that can be taught. That's the premise here, is that you can teach me and other people to use and to communicate with certain words more effectively with the person I'm trying to either influence, persuade, or convince, or to hear my message.
Yeah, I get accused sometimes after people see me perform as a mentalist. They accuse me of being psychic or born with some gift. And the truth is, my communication skill when I was born was really, really bad. I mean, I didn't talk even until I was 4 years old. I was extremely shy, extremely introverted. And that's probably what drew me to magic, was something that would allow me to kind of come out of my shell, right? So can this be taught? Absolutely. I mean, this is what I do. This is what I sort of have dedicated my adult life, is to sharing the secrets that I've learned on the stage and the communication strategies that I've learned while studying the psychology of my audience and of my marketplace, and applying that, to people's lives, be it, again, in the workplace or even at home. Parenting is another skill that is crucial for communication.
I would agree with that. So how do I get my 13-year-old son, who is coming into his own, to do the things I need him to do?
That's a great question. You know, I just put a post on Psychology Today yesterday about seven things to stop saying to your teen immediately. And there's a lot of parents out there who are using the techniques that they used when their kids were toddlers, and they're expecting them to work when their kids grow into teenagers. So one of the biggest pieces of advice that I have for parents of teenagers is to make a simple shift and a simple switch. When our kids are young, you know, I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old and a baby due any second now. And I'll tell you, when they're young, you can tell them what to do. You can use statements. You can say, don't do this, don't do that, do this. And for the most part, you know, they listen, right? But when they become teenagers now, they're starting to challenge, they're starting to question, they're starting to debate, and they're certainly starting to disobey. So the simple shift is to switch from statements to questions.
I like
and
that.
And I'll tell you, it's impossible to argue with a question. Right? If you ask a question in the right way, it's impossible to argue with it. So maybe to your 13-year-old son, you might say, so what is it that you're supposed to be doing? They can't argue with that. You know?
No. I like that. Thank you. You just empowered me. He's in trouble now. Wait till I see him. Wait till I see him. He's well, you know what, though? I think it's funny. He's ready for that. It's almost like that's what it's almost what he's asking for, really, because he wants to be able to express himself. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's take this back over to the world of business or finance. I'm going to make a leap here. Are some of those same techniques, things that can be done in the workplace?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, this book was really born out of looking at people, you know, how people interact, how people communicate, how the mind works. You know, we've learned a lot about the brain in just the last 3, 4, 5 years that has really revolutionize what we know about communication, about motivation, and looking at the psychology of people and sort of reverse engineering, okay, what words are going to tie into that psychology? What words are going to tap into the natural motivation that we all have? So that's where the list of seven words came from, really looking at people first and finding out what are the core drives. So they're really not seven words. They're seven psychological principles.
Okay.
There are seven ideas about, you know, what we need as humans. And in the workplace, we deal a lot with difficult people, right? Mm. One of the most popular programs that I offer is Magic Words for Dealing with Difficult People. and that's a big challenge in the workplace. And what we find is that people become difficult when their needs are not being met.
True.
So if you can meet those psychological needs, then those people cease to become difficult. They become more productive. You can work together, have more team environment, build better culture, and these things certainly can apply in the workplace. I can certainly break it down and give you some specifics if you'd like, and give you some examples.
Well, let's do this. Let's first not hold the audience in suspense any longer, Tim. Let's tell them what your seven words are, and then we can dig a little deeper into this and work our way through it.
Sure, happy to do that. Sometimes people say, well, if I have the words, then why do I have to buy the book? But the truth is, again, it's not just a list of words. I mean, I can certainly give you the list. Unfortunately, the value won't be there. I mean, because some of the words you want to know, okay, should I use this more? Should I use this less?
Right.
You know, what effect does this really have on the human brain when I say this word? And when you hear the list, you're going to think, wow, I say those words just about every day. They're very simple words. They seem benign. They seem ordinary and decidedly unmagical until just like a magic trick. You know, you see a magic trick on stage and, you know, it looks, wow, that's amazing. It's floating until you break it down, until you sort of take it apart and look at the secrets behind it. So the words are yes, but, if, because, someone's name, the word help, and the word thanks. So people often ask, hey, where's please? I thought please was the magic word.
Yeah.
Right? It unfortunately didn't make the list, although I will say please and thank you both are still magic words, and I certainly encourage people to use
them. I like that. That's contagious, Tim. Thank you. You're right. They are everyday words, but I think your point's well taken that it's the message and the way in which these words are used and the ideas that they represent. And I know one of your big themes is that connections matter. And so a lot of these are words that are allowing for or creating these connections and relationships.
Absolutely. Most people teach communication skill. We talked about the importance of communication skill, when it comes time to hiring people. But the bottom line is, when it comes time to promote people, they find something different. People aren't looking for communication skill anymore. People are looking for working performance. In other words, did you get the job done or not? Were you able to motivate your employees or not? Were you able to connect with your difficult boss or not? And so what we look at is not communication skill. Communication skill is what we say and how we say it. However, connection is what people hear. And that's what this book is really about. You see, as a magician, I'm constantly taking on your perspective, stepping outside of my own self and stepping into your shoes and seeing, okay, what do they see? Hmm. Magicians spend hours practicing in front of a mirror so we can see the audience's perspective.
Okay.
We video ourselves for hours and just find out what are people seeing. And there's a phrase we use over and over and over again. It's watch your angle. You know, in other words, what are they seeing right now? Hmm. Step inside their shoes. And that's a skill that we don't have anymore in our culture. We don't have the ability or sometimes even the desire to see things from another person's point of view.
Why
narcissism
is that?
Narcissism is on the rise.
Yeah.
Empathy is on the decline. So this is really what I think the core of this book is about, is the ability to take someone else's perspective and say, okay, what do they hear when I say these words? What's going on in their mind, in their brain? And most of the time, these seven words in particular, very, very surprising results. We think we're saying one thing, but they're hearing something entirely different.
Well, that's very clear. The thing that's in my mind is how people respond to this. You know, well, let's do this. Let's grab a quick break. We'll get into more detail. Tim David, ladies and gentlemen, speaker, author. The book is Magic Words, The Science and Secrets Behind Seven Words That Motivate, Engage, and Influence. A couple of websites for you, magicwordsbook.com and timdavidspeaks.com. Quick break. Back with Tim.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, with another David. Tim David is our guest, speaker, author, and the books. The book is Magic Words, The Science and Secrets Behind the Seven Words That Motivate, Engage, and Influence, and the website magicwordsbook.com and timdavidspeaks.com, because Tim David does that. And so we're glad to have him on the program. And we were talking before the break of kind of setting all this up, Tim, and I think that we're going to probably drive our listeners a little crazy if we don't get in a little bit more of the detail, because they're like, okay, give me some of that power. Give me some of that understanding. I want to engage in this process. And so we can pick any of them, but I'll use one of them that, as you were kind of setting up with people becoming kind of closed off, or there being this, you know, we live in a world where everything, people are engaged in their phones, they're doing their latest posts to Facebook and or LinkedIn. So the world's changed. And so there's this connection. It's not the same. So we can go over any of them. I don't know if any of them is your favorite, but the one I want to ask you about is just the power or the importance of the word thanks.
Yeah, this one is probably my favorite. And the reason is because it has a magical effect on the person who hears it, as well as a magical effect on the person who says it. So gratitude research has come a long way. We have people who've dedicated their lives. I did some research into Dr. Robert Emmons and his work. I interviewed one of his associates, Dr. Jeffrey Froh, and basically found that the power of expressing gratitude is just profound. I mean, in the workplace, people don't quit their jobs, right? People quit their boss. And the number one reason they quit their boss is because their boss, catch this part, doesn't make them feel appreciated. You see, sometimes we say thanks and we think that's enough. But it's not about, you know, what we say again or how we say it. It's about what the other person hears. So the question I have for the bosses out there, for the managers, for the leaders, is not are you saying thanks, but rather are you making your team feel appreciated?
Big difference.
Huge difference. Some people need private praise and thanks. Mm-hmm. Some people need public praise and thanks. In the book, I give you a bunch of different suggestions on how to do that, how to apply that. Stories from people all over the country who have great bosses who show appreciation, and a couple of stories from the bad bosses out there and the mistakes they've made. But people need to hear it, but also we need to say it. People who are grateful, there are literally health benefits. It's been shown that people who are grateful actually live an average of about 7 years longer. So that's pretty impressive stuff. Sounds magical to me.
No, that's exactly what it sounds like. So there are things that you talk about in your book that are these, techniques, maybe that's the wrong word, but just ways to approach it and ways that can be effective. And we're also not talking about sleight of hand, no pun intended here. We're not trying to trick people into feeling appreciated. If we really do appreciate them, then we want to make sure that they feel that. If we don't appreciate them, then maybe they're not the right person to be part of a business team.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, sometimes people say to me, I don't want to be manipulative.
Right.
You know, but I'll tell you, I've never had anybody say to me, how dare you try to take my perspective? You know, how dare you try to understand how your words are impacting me? You know, people really do care about their own perspective, and they really do want you to treat them the way that they want to be treated. So, you know, this is a skill that I think is quite interesting, and there's a fine line between, persuasion and manipulation and influence. And the key thing is persuasion is not something... True persuasion is not something that we do to other people. True persuasion is a condition that we create. We find out what motivates someone, and then we just simply tap into that. It's not about getting people to do what we want them to do. It's really more about getting them to do what they truly want to do. But, you know, maybe there's some obstacles or there's some hang-ups. People really do want to do a good job at work. They really do have an intrinsic desire to do a job well done just for the sake of doing a job well done. And the question is, why aren't our current management techniques, our current motivation techniques, working? And the reason is because we're viewing it as something that we do to other people, and
yeah,
it's simply not.
Yeah, and what I'm after, or what I was speaking to earlier, Tim, and I agree with what you're saying, what I was after was authenticity. You know, if you really do want somebody, I'm a business owner, and I have a team of people to help me do the financial planning work for our clients. And if I really appreciate and want somebody on my team, then, you know, all of these things are very appropriate to make sure they feel appreciated and they know it. But if I don't want them on my team, then that's a whole other conversation. Or if I don't really appreciate them, should not be tricking or trying to persuade them into feeling that way, because they shouldn't be here.
Yeah, there's a story I tell in the book about the difference again between intention, right? Because you're right. I mean, you want to be authentic. You want to have integrity. You want to communicate what you truly want to communicate and nothing else. And too many people don't understand, again, the psychology behind communication. And they say something and something else entirely is heard. So true authenticity, true integrity is about communicating intentionally instead of accidentally. And to your point, I think that's a struggle a lot of people have. You know, communication is a tool. You know, like let's say an axe is the story I talk about in the book. An axe to Paul Bunyan is a helpful tool, but to Lizzie Borden, it's a weapon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's somewhere in between, though. Right. There's somewhere in between. Most people say I'm not going to be Lizzie Borden. I'm not going to use my words to hurt. That's obvious. The in between is a guy named Chris Hansen. Chris Hansen was a punter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they literally had an act in the locker room, and the coach, Jack Del Rio, said to the team, just keep chopping wood. There's a giant log, and every day we're going to take a few hacks. And if we, as a team, just keep chopping wood, guess what? We'll get there. Eventually, we'll reach our goal. So Chris Hansen, the punter, comes along, takes a swing with this tool, again, not intending to hurt anybody, and misses the log and hits himself in the leg. He's rushed off for emergency surgery. Fortunately, he ends up being okay. But the bottom line is this: communication is a tool, and if it's held in the hands of an unskilled craftsman, bad things can happen.
Can't say it more clearly than that, Tim. So, well-intended, yeah, but if you don't do this the right way, it's going to create more problems. I think going back to your comment about some people needing that recognition in a certain way, some people would want to crawl inside a box and hide if you want to give them public praise, but somebody else may love it versus that person just needs a little bit of private recognition. And knowing the difference is where the boss or the manager really needs to understand.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a perfect example and a great reason why we really need to get back to our roots and understand people just really on a deeper level, on a deeper sort of psychological level, understand what makes each other tick and step outside of our own heads every once in a while.
Yeah, I think we got the technology stuff down, at least for now. You know, we got offices, we got all these things, we've got cars that take us places, we've got jets that we can travel. So back to the basics and focused on people. I like that. Tim David, ladies and gentlemen, speaker and author, the book, Magic Words, The Science and Secrets Behind 7 Words That Motivate, Engage, and Influence, magicwordsbook.com and timdavidspeaks.com. Quick break. When we come back, Tim's going to help us with another very important thing, and I really like this, and that is how to remember someone's name. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Tim David on the line with us, ladies and gentlemen, speaker, author, and the book, Magic Words, The Science and Secrets Behind 7 Words That Motivate, Engage, and Influence. And the websites, magicwordsbook.com and timdavidspeaks.com. We're glad to have Tim on the program with us and giving us a glimmer, just a little bit of insight into this whole area of understanding human psychology as it relates to communication and influence and those things. And one way to do that, Dave, of course, is one of your 7 words, one of the most powerful, of course, is someone's name. And what do you say to people like me that sometimes forget people's names? You see the person down the grocery store aisle and you're like, come on. What? It's normal, especially if you don't interact with that person every day or whatever the case may be. So help.
Yeah, well, the brain is highly visual. You know, there's over 30 visual cortices in the back part of our brain, the occipital lobe, and we can remember faces very well. Names, on the other hand, a little different. Now, the challenge is, so that's normal, all right? Everybody sort of has that face recognition, but can't put the name to the face from time to time. So the challenge is, sometimes we allow that to make ourselves believe that we have a bad memory. Flat out, I just am terrible at remembering names. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? The more we expect ourselves to forget names, the more we will forget names. Because when you're meeting somebody, there's a lot of stuff going on. Your brain is doing something called a threat assessment, right? You're looking at this person, you're looking at their body language, sure, how they carry themselves, their gestures, their vocal tonality, the words that they're saying, and you're trying to get an impression about this person. And your brain is doing a lot of work. Plus, you want to know, how am I coming across? I want to give a good impression. You know, what's my handshake like? And, you know, all these different things that your brain is doing sort of behind the scenes. So when you hear someone say their name, very often you don't. hear someone say their name. Mm. So the first real tip I have for you is to start paying attention to people's names when they say it. And I mean paying attention sort of on a different level, right? Because oftentimes, again, we just go through the motions. We're in this pattern behavior of introducing ourselves and meeting someone new. My name is, and you are. And this pattern behavior sort of, you know, the brain doesn't really pay too much attention to it.
Right.
There's 7 billion people on planet Earth. You know, what's this one more here? Is it really that important? So stop, challenge yourself to pay attention to the person's name. And that's really tip number one. The second tip is to repeat their name back to them. This forces you to use the information you just heard. And anytime you use information, you learn it on a deeper level. So you repeat their name back to them. And it doesn't, you don't have to go crazy. You know, hi, David. Oh, thank you so much for having me on, David. David, is there anything you'd like to start with? You know, you don't go crazy with it. So it becomes a technique. Again, you want to be authentic in the use of it. But repeating someone's name will help as well. And then the final tip, and David, this one's a little weird, right? But this is the one I use when I'm in a room of, you know, 80 people and I'm conducting a seminar and I have to remember everyone's name, which at the end, by the way, is very impressive. They say their name once and at the end I go through the entire room and tell everybody their names. It usually results in a round of applause and people are impressed by that. So how do I do that? Well, I create associations with people's face and their name.
Hmm.
So if I meet someone who's named John, every time I meet someone who's named John, I have a mental image in my head of a toilet.
Nice.
Now, again, I know it sounds weird, but again, that's unforgettable. And then I take that toilet seat and I associate it with John's face. So if John has extremely large ears, then what I'll do is I'll take that toilet seat and
hang
put it
around
in
his ears.
Ears as earrings.
Okay.
Like, I mean, big, gaudy, humongous, unnatural toilet seat earrings.
Nice.
And the reason that it's unnatural is, again, to make it memorable, to make it unforgettable. The brain loves those picture images. And if you associate that with John's ears, every time you see his ears, immediately you'll see toilet seat, and that'll remind your brain that his name is John.
Wow. That's powerful.
Strange, I know, but again, we use the brain sort of as we play to the brain's strengths rather than the brain's weaknesses. And this is what allows, memory champions to memorize a deck of cards in 20 seconds. Part of my act is memorizing a Rubik's Cube and solving it blindfolded from memory. And I would say, normally, I don't have an above average memory by any stretch, but just using the memory tricks, using the brain sort of the way it was designed, is allowing me to do these things and allowing you and all your listeners to remember people's names.
Well, the real key there, Tim, and I think you hit it on the head, is it's not really a trick per se. It's using the way our brains were designed, from assessing threats to recalling what somebody's name was. It is a little bit secondary to whether or not they're going to attack you. And so these are all key things. All right, Tim David, ladies and gentlemen, the book is Magic Words, The Science and Secrets Behind 7 Words That Motivate, Engage, and Influence, magicwordsbook.com, timdavidspeaks.com. Tim David, thank you very much, sir, for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, David.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis
analysis of an individual situation, and only Rahalan Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.